had the mic. They had a cord then, didn't have the cordless mic. They had the cord that run all the way back to, and every time he'd move, it'd go off, and he'd mess with it and get it going. That old for the good old days when you didn't have to wear a leash. I started to tell you I've been preaching over 45 years. I lose count sometimes, and I never get up to preach, but what I nervous. So don't take it personal. It is good to be here. As Paul mentioned, I've known Brad for a while. Esther and I knew Brad when he came out from Mississippi. Where was it? Was this Mississippi, wasn't it? And he was single then. He was here for a little while, and then he went back to marry Cindy, brought Cindy out. So we knew Brad when their children were born back in the early 80s, about 1980. Brad was my minister of music and youth. So we've known Brad a while, and it was good that he called me and asked me to fill in for him. I'm not preaching much right now, but I retired, and the opportunities seem to be rare. I see where you're having this evening sharing Jesus without freaking out class. And honestly, I did not know that when I chose the message that I am going to preach this morning. But I don't think it was a surprise to the Lord. We're going to look at Luke, the 15th chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm not high tech. I'll not have anything on the screen. But we'll look at this. The chapter begins, "All the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Years ago, they used to have these little diamond-shaped things that stick on the window of the car, something like baby aboard. Then they kind of caught on, and they started adding a few more children aboard, ex-boyfriend aboard, bulldog aboard, or something, or whatever kind of dog they had, hostage aboard, alien aboard, all kinds of different things, cowboy aboard, princess, zombies aboard. And someone came up with one, and it simply said, "Who cares?" So you go down the street, and this, in response to all of these others, there's this one says, "Who cares?" Jesus was meeting with a group of people who the publicans called tax collectors, sinners. And they had, if you might picture, their imaginary buttons on them. For see, the tax collector, the sinners, were all around the Pharisees. But they seemed to have their "Who Cares" badges on them. Who cares? And I think sometimes we may seem to have our badges around us because the lost, they're all around us, our neighbors, friends, our families. And in response to the "who cares" attitude of the Pharisees of those days, and perhaps the "who cares" attitude of some Christians today, Jesus tells three stories in Luke 15. And then another story at the close, at the end of chapter 16. He says, which of you, having 100 sheep? So we picture the scene, the shepherd. And he's getting close to evening, and he's bringing his sheep into the fold, the corral. He counts them as he's done so many times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 50, 51, 52, 97, 98, 99. There's supposed to be 100 sheep. So what am I to do? One sheep, he still has 99. What's one sheep? But Jesus says, which of you would not go back and look for the lost sheep? He leaves the sheep. He goes down the trail where they came. He looks down here in this brush, group of trees over here, down the little trail to the creek. He looks until he finds the sheep, puts him on his shoulder, and brings him back into the fold. Then he shouts out, hey, Zachariah, I found my sheep. He was excited. And then Jesus says, there was a woman. She had 10 coins. I don't know how much the coins were worth. Maybe she'd been saving most of her adult life. But she had a mass fortune of 10 coins, whatever it was worth. She's counting them. And she finds that one of the coins, valuable coin, is missing. So she lights a lamp. She probably lights another lamp, and that's her flashlight. And she holds it in the corners, the dark corners. She moves things around. She gets out her broom and begins to sweep stuff into a pile and looks through it. She finally finds the coin that was missing. She goes to the door, hangs her head out the door. Hey! To her neighbor. I found the coin. I found the coin. Probably had told her about the coin. And then he tells the story of the prodigal son, which I'll not go into very deep, but the son who wanted his portion of his inheritance. And he took it and spent it all. And he had nothing left. The famine in the land. And he's feeding hogs, a Jew feeding hogs, unheard of. And he says, my servants, my father has, are better off than me. I will go back to my father, make me one of your hired hands. I'm not worthy to be your son. But when he goes, he's rehearsing his speech, the father's waiting for him, rushes to him, wraps his arm around his neck and kisses him, puts a ring on his finger, has a big party. His son is back. Now, through these stories, perhaps Jesus hopes to correct the who cares attitude of the Pharisees of that day and perhaps ours as well. When I was pastor in Tucker Road and Hood River, I had a gentleman, hadn't been a Christian very long, and oh, what a life he had. What a sinful life he had. He told me one time, I never forgot these words that he said. He said, Pastor, that I haven't been a Christian very long. I still remember. But Pastor, Christians have a tendency to forget what it's like to be lost. I never forgot those words. The Pharisees have forgotten what it means to be lost. We look at the players in our dramas. We have the shepherd, we have the woman, we have the father. They represent God, who cares about the lost. And of course, the sheep and the coin and the son portray the lost, the person without Christ. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to care, hoping perhaps he can maybe stir up some compassion in their heart for the lost. You know, much of our evangelism is made up of the fervor of for the fact that it's what we're supposed to do. That's why we do it, because we're supposed to be doing it. And much of the time, that's the only reason that we're doing it. And folks, I'm not knocking that. Please don't misunderstand me. We ought to do it because we're supposed to do it. But Jesus wants us to go a little bit further. The Pharisees had the idea, or this view of the theology, that they were the good guys because they were the righteous, and everybody else, the bad guys. Now God loves the good guys because they kept the law. The bad guys didn't keep the law, so God did not like the bad guys. He did not want the good guys to associate with the bad guys. That was their theology. But God loves the good guys, and God loves the bad guys. Now, do you think that God loves the bad guys? I mean, remember when you were a bad guy? God loved you. Loved you enough to die for you. He hasn't changed. Why would God care? First of all, the lost are lost to God. Look at the prodigal son. We look at the prodigal son. Now, honestly, objectively, we look at him and how he ended up losing everything with nothing, feeding the hogs, the husks of the corn, no more than he deserved. He brought it on himself. And sometimes we look at people who destroy their lives in sin, brought it on themselves. Well, you know what? There may be some truth in that. But look at the Father who represents God. Every single day, he cared about the Son. He had another son. He was home working. But he kept watching, waiting, yearning for the one that was lost. So it was with the shepherd. He had 99 sheep left, but he kept wondering, worrying about the sheep that was lost. They lost, apparently, have value to God. Apparently, are precious to God. We see it all through the Bible. Are you precious to God? Are you valuable to God? But those people out there are not. They are hopelessly lost in themselves. Paul Harvey, years ago, Paul Harvey told a story. He said that back in 1987, they had the World Cup Championship in Australia. Teams came from all over the world. The Italian team came. Now, the Italian team were outfitted by the Gucci. Oh, they had their Gucci jackets. They had their Gucci pants and shorts. They had their Gucci boots. They had their Gucci luggage. They were outfitted by Gucci. Wanted to make a good impression for Italy. Now, there came an afternoon. They had some free time. So they decided they would rent a Jeep, go out into the back outback, and see if they can see a real live wild kangaroo. Now, they've been looking for a while and about to give up, and all of a sudden, a kangaroo jumped out in front of them. Bam! They hit that kangaroo with that Jeep. Bam! Fell out dead. So they thought. Well, after they got over the shock of it, decided to have a little fun with this kangaroo. So they took the Gucci jacket off of the driver, put it on the kangaroo, propped him up there, taking pictures of him, dressed in his Gucci jacket. The kangaroo was only stunned, snapped out of it, run off into the brush. Then they found out that the keys to the Jeep was in that Gucci jacket on that kangaroo, tromping off into the brush. You see, they thought the kangaroo was merely stunned. They thought the kangaroo was dead, but the kangaroo was stunned. Folks, we act the other way around. We treat the lost sometimes like they're a little stunned. But the Bible says they're not stunned. The Bible said they're dead in their trespasses and sin. And then another thing we see here is heaven rejoices over the recovery of the lost. The sheep, for example, that was found. When he comes home, calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now Jesus says, "I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And then there is the woman and the coin. That's here, when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I've lost." And Jesus adds these words, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then the prodigal son, the boy who was lost. Let me find it here. "He arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran to him, fell on his neck, kissed him, and said, and the son said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you.' And he's trying to get his speech out, but the father said to the servants, 'Bring out the best robe, pass it on to him. Put a ring on his hands and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead. Now he is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry." These are the stories that Jesus tells us to awaken of compassion in us for us. So what are we to do? There are four dynamics in the first four dynamics of an effective person seeking the lost in the first one. First of all, there is the leaving. This is the first parable. The leaving. He left the 99. Our daughter and her husband and their two sons, they live on the same farm out of Gaston that her husband lived when he was born. So the family's had it a long time. And they raised some cows, some chickens, and some, I have a llama now. They've always had some sheep. Years ago, they come sometime right after the first of the year. They don't wait till the warm weather. They just have them, and they found this. They always check. They found this ewe that had twins, and so they take the two twins and the mother. And while they're getting them, Kathy says, "I think I hear something down here in the brush." And of course, Dennis, like me, he wears hearing aids. He didn't hear anything. So they just kind of wrote it off. And they got the sheep back into the barn. Kathy said, "Dennis, I'm sure I heard something down in that brush." And so they take the flashlight. By this time, it's getting dark. They go down in there, and they find a third sheep. She had three sheep. One of them got separated. And they were so excited, and they got this third sheep, and they brought it back. But they left the ones in the barn to go find the one that was lost. We love to have visitors in our church, but some of the lost people are not going to come. We're just going to have to go. And then the second thing, dynamic, is the finding. Notice in verse 4, he goes after the one that was lost until he finds it. And this finding, years ago, Kathy's oldest grandson, I took him up into the woods to shoot the .22. We drove back up the logging road and found a nice bank there we could shoot into, and we were shooting the .22. And we took with us our little toy poodle, Pierre. And so we were shooting a while, and it suddenly dawned on me, where's Pierre? You know, dogs don't like shots, And I look around, and Pierre is not there. He wandered off. So we walked up this gravel road, logging road. We looked. We drove up the other way. We got in the car. We drove around. Look. And no Pierre. Lady, what am I going to do? Go home and tell Esther I've lost her dog? Oh. We park, and we get out, and we walk the gravel road again. We can't find him. And Chad, he says, "I think I hear something." This is the honest, true story. He heard something down in the brush. Pierre had got down there in that brush and was trying to find his way back. And Chad went down there, got him, and we found him. So I can go home. But we looked and looked. We didn't quit till we find him. The third dynamic is the bearing. Put it on his shoulder, and he bared it. He carried it back. Little old Peep lost her sheep. Didn't know where to find them. Well, leave them alone. They'll come home, wagging their tails behind them. That's an awful cute nursery rhyme, but it's not very theological. It's not really what happens. Just leave them alone. They'll come home in their own time. Dennis and Kathy, when they found the sheep, they put it on their shoulder or picked it in their arms. It's just a little lamb, and carried it back. Chad found Peanut in the brush, picked him up, brought him up to me, and I carried him back. And then the fourth dynamic, oh, the wonderful dynamic of rejoicing. Rejoicing. There is rejoicing in heaven over every lost person who is found, who comes. I was pastor in Newburgh, Chehalem Valley Baptist Church, when this incident happened with Kathy and Dennis and the third lamb. Man, you're not, that's preaching material. Huh? Now, so I used that sermon in the church there. Kathy and Dennis were there. I think it was before they had the boys. And I was doing this story, and it suddenly dawned on me, and I stopped, how many here have heard this story already? And virtually every hand in the auditorium went up. And why was that? Because Dennis and Kathy had already told him the story of the sheep. The rejoicing. Hey, I found my sheep that was lost. Hey, I found my coin that was lost. Let's kill the fatted calf. We're having a celebration. My son is home. Was dead, he's alive. Was lost, he's found. Not too long ago, we lost Billy Graham. Billy Graham, you know, he's Southern Baptist. Did you know that? Membership First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, for years and years. Didn't go there because he lived somewhere else. But they had Billy Graham's funeral service, and Esther and I watched it on the Fox Channel. We were watching the actual ceremony. Each one of the children got up to speak. One of the daughters, I'm not going to mention the name because I may get the wrong one, but she got up and she shared. She said, the tragedy in my life, after 22 years of marriage, it ended in divorce. And it was just, I was just utterly devastated. She said, she moved somewhere to be closer to her sister, I believe. And she said there, she met a young man, another man, in the church there. They became acquainted. And in a short time, they decided to get married. So when they called Ruth and Billy Graham, they tried to encourage her not to rush into something. Wait a bit. Get to know this man. But she said, I wouldn't listen. And so she married the guy. And she said, in 5 weeks, I left him because I was fearful for my life. And she said, I had no place to go. She said, I wanted to go home. And so she called her folks, she's coming home. Now all the time, you know, she said that, you know, daughters, they don't want to. The reaction of parents when they embarrass their parents. She said, you don't want the reaction. She was worried about the reaction, the daughter of Billy Graham, to embarrass Billy Graham. But she had embarrassed the family. And she said, I drove home. And she said, when I got there was my father waiting in the driveway. when I got out of the car, he walked up to me, threw his arms around me and kissed me and said, "Welcome home." That was all. That was a profound memory in her heart of her father and a picture of God welcoming home the lost sinner. Who cares? God cares. And God wants us to care. Father, we thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture, the stories that Jesus shared, the things he taught us. Father, I think sometimes we need to be reminded because we get cold. Thank you for reminding us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.